Spring training games got started late last month, and watching those games for the average fan really hasn't changed very much over the years. But the way scouts, coaches, and managers watch the game is dramatically different, as the use of statistics has come to dominate baseball and how teams decide how to spend their money. Economist Andrew Zimbalist is a professor at Smith College, and he's written a number of books about the economy of sports. His latest is called The Sabermetric Revolution. I asked him to define sabermetrics.
Sabermetrics is the application of statistical analysis to assess baseball player performance and team strategy and also team business decision making.
Teams have been thinking about statistics. They've been using statistics in some fashion or form for decades. What has changed over the past, 10 to 20 years in terms of the numbers they look for and how they use them?
One could trace it back really to the 1870s and the 1880s when baseball first starts, that people are suggesting new statistics and using new statistics. And that goes right through the 1930s and 40s. Branch Rickey at the Dodgers hired Alan Roth, who was promoting the idea of using on-base percentage, which is batting average plus walks, essentially. But it never got picked up by more than a team or two until the 1990s. And then when Michael Lewis writes his book about the 2002 Oakland A's, and this, of course, is a team on a shoestring budget that ends up winning their division in the American League and winning something like 20 games in a row. So it caught everybody's notice. And Lewis is suggesting some very simple things that teams should start to do. Nothing very complicated, nothing that involved advanced math. And one of those main things that he's suggesting is, why don't teams use on-base percentage instead of batting average? Because after all, if a player walks rather than gets a base hit, he still gets to first base. He still allows another batter to come up. If there's anybody on base, those runners might advance. And he prolongs the inning. So all of those wonderful things happen for a walk, and yet for decades and decades, baseball front offices were emphasizing and prioritizing batting average rather than on-base percentage. And once Lewis reveals this stuff, teams... And by the way, back in 2002, 2003, you can hire somebody who did sabermetrics for an online site like Baseball Prospectus. You could hire them for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year. and they're paying players $2-4 million on average. Why not hire a sabermetrician? You could be accused almost of malpractice for not hiring somebody at $30,000 a year to do this. And basically it works. The evidence we have is that the early sabermetric insights help teams select players better. Now, there are two things to say about that going forward. One is that once you have a new metric, like on-base percentage, that is making it obvious to teams that they should be doing this, then even though prior to 2003, when Moneyball was published, there's not much demand for players with high on-base percentage, afterwards, there is a lot of demand, and that high demand for those players raises the price of those players. So back when Billy Beane at the Oakland A's was looking at on-base percentage, it was undervalued, and players with high on-base percentages you could get on the cheap. But 3 or 4 years later, they became too expensive. so that category from that metric wasn't very valuable anymore. In fact, you could say it was almost counterproductive. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that a statistic like on-base percentage, which, as I said, is basically batting average plus walks, is very easy to understand. You don't need much more than a fourth or fifth grade mathematical background to grasp that. But what happens is that all of the low-hanging fruit gets picked in 2000, from 2002 up to maybe 2007 or 8. And now, in order to get a leg up, in order for a sabermetric element in a baseball front office to actually do something that nobody else is doing, you've got to engage in much more sophisticated sabermetric analysis.
Can the new age sabermetricians get along with the old school managers, the guys, the scouts who actually see on the field and they know more about the game per se?
Moneyball is wrong on a large number of issues that it brings up. And one of the issues where it misleads, I think very significantly misleads, is on this relationship between the newfangled sabermetricians and the old-fangled scouts. than most baseball front offices. The general manager of the team and the head of baseball operations, they get together and they say, look, there's no reason to tie a hand behind our backs here. Let's use both of our hands. Let's use the scouting hand, and let's use the statistical or sabermetric hand, and let's work together. And the good organizations do that. And one of the things that's interesting that we found in looking at this in the book is that the teams that are most sabermetrically inclined are also the teams that have the smartest front offices, because it's people who are really smart who don't get threatened by new ideas because they feel secure in themselves. And so it's those teams where you have somebody really smart in the front office who says, basically, I insist that you work together.
The word innovation is applying to baseball as it does in Silicon Valley and many other industries. Do people still have that stereotype of front offices, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, being run by people who aren't deep thinkers, aren't innovators? But are we seeing that baseball is actually just as on the cutting edge as some of these other industries?
It's certainly the case that if you look at the people who are hired as general managers, who are hired as vice presidents of baseball operations, who are hired as sabermetricians, that the educational background that these people have is much, much higher than it was 20 or 30 years ago. 20 or 30 years ago, you hired an ex-player who might or might not have had a bachelor's degree from college. But now things are much more sophisticated, and not only in the baseball analysis of player analysis side of it, but in business analysis and marketing analysis. All of that stuff is much, much more important. And the baseball industry now is almost a $10 billion industry. It's growing by leaps and bounds. One area where baseball, in fact, is on the cutting edge is its internet wing, which is called MLBAM, or Major League Baseball Advanced Media. They are the dominant force in the industry, and one of the dominant forces in telecommunications in terms of streaming and providing new visual and statistical analysis.
When we look at the big picture as far as the sabermetric revolution continuing, do you see that continuing? Do you see it expanding as we find new statistics?
Yes, I think it will continue. You know, one of the things about sabermetrics is productivity in the early 2000s is that, as I said before, they were picking low-hanging fruit. It's very easy to use on-base percentage. It's very easy to use some of the other metrics that were being used. But now it's much, much more difficult. So in order to get that little advantage for your team over the other teams, you've got to expend much more in resources. And not only that, there's no guarantee you're going to find anything. So the productivity that sabermetrics has had over this first 10 years, this first decade since Michael Lewis's book, is not something that I think you can anticipate will be as forthcoming going forward.
Economist Andrew Zimbalist, co-author of the new book, The Sabermetric Revolution. If you happen to be interested in learning more about baseball's advanced statistics, the Society of American Baseball Research, or SABRE, is holding its annual analytics conference in Phoenix. It starts tomorrow and runs through Saturday.